Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. To welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We invite you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We have hundreds of thousands of people already listening to us, and all we're asking is that you make your house, your home, your mansion, your hut, your palace, wherever you live, your village, Turn it into a house church. Go out to the highways and invite the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Invite them in and listen to our program each week, same time, same station. Invite people over to your house. Tune in, and we'll give you a message that you can help teach them, and you can build a church in your own house. Go to our website and learn how, www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Brother Paul Lockman next week is going to give us a report on his recent missionary journey. Last week, if you'll remember, we studied an abbreviated form of the seed lesson. And the seed lesson is basically this time chart here that I have prepared and I use each and every week. From before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. And that plan was to redeem mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. At the very right time in history, he sent his son. And so we studied last week how God promised that this seed, this child, the child of a woman, would be born, that he would come into the world. And then we studied some prophecies of him. That same promise of a child or a seed being born through their descendants was given to Abraham. And that's defined in the New Testament as being Christ Jesus our Lord. And so those promises were given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to King David. And so through this family line, we trace this family line. Finally, then we have another change of dispensation from the patriarchal dispensation to the dispensation of the law. And Moses gives us the law that was designed to bring us to Christ. During that period of time, prophets wrote. And we studied last week Psalms 22, which is a messianic prophecy of the coming of Christ, written about 1000 B.C. And then we studied Isaiah 53, which is a prophecy of the coming of Christ that was written about 750 B.C. And in these prophecies, they give us specifics about what's going to happen to him, how he's going to be beat, how they're going to pierce his hands and his feet. They made these prophecies before crucifixion was ever invented. And so there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of Christ and his coming into the world. And so we would encourage you to study with us the coming year. We're going to go back and study through the Old Testament. We'll study the New Testament through the Old Testament because it all has one author and it all fits together perfectly. And so last Sunday we saw that the gospel was proclaimed in Isaiah 53, verse 8, he's killed. In Isaiah 53, verse 9, he's buried. And in Isaiah 53, 10, God is going to prolong his days. How do you prolong somebody's days? That you kill them in verse 8, you bury them in verse 9. God raised him from the dead. So after this historical event, the first important thing that we see in New Testament teaching is the second chapter of the book of Acts. So if you would open with me now to Acts chapter 2. And you see in the beginning, Peter introduces his first gospel sermon, which he preaches the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and following. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you. How was he approved? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye've taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, for it's impossible that he should be holding of it. So Peter preaches the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He preaches the first gospel sermon. Then if you'll drop down with me to verse 36. Therefore, he sums up his sermon and he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ, Master and Savior. And so if he needs to be your Lord, he needs to be your Lord and Master, and he needs to be your Savior if you hope to be saved. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, the people who were listening to him. They're pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? A cry of hopelessness, what can we possibly do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. How many people are to do that? Every one of you, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? For the remission of your sins. Boy, that's just such a beautiful word. Remission of sins means to forget and forgive every sorry, rotten, no good thing that you've ever said, done, or thought in your whole life. Now, I need a deal like that. That's the kind of deal that I need. Forget and forgive. And God promises, he says, in their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. He promised it in Jeremiah 31, and the Hebrew writer tells us it's fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 8. And so he told them to repent and be baptized. Now these are what's called synecdoches. It's a part for the whole. There are five things that are involved in saving people. You believe, you have faith, you repent, you confess, and you're baptized into Christ. All five of those things are mentioned as part of the salvation experience. So I want you to do all of them. I don't want you to just do one of them and think and hope you say. You know, the Bible talks about believing. And you go to a lot of churches today and they tell you, oh, all you got to do is believe. Well, the devils believe and tremble. Are they saved? You know, just because you believe, it's no big deal. Let's turn that belief into faith. And faith is an action word in which you need to take action. And so verse 39 we see, for the promise of remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the promise, those two promises, for the promise is unto you, the people that are standing there, to your children, the next generation, and as many as are far off, that's us, the Gentile nations across the sea, as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God calls everybody in the gospel. The gospel call is universal. It goes out to all. It's whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. And with many other words, this isn't a whole sermon. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And that's really a bad translation. It ought to be translated, be saved, allow yourself to be saved. The verb is passive, and that's all we can do. God did all the saving, and so now all we need to do is just to allow ourselves to be saved. And how do we do that? Well, we believe, we have faith, we repent, we confess, we're baptized into Christ, and we're saved. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his words were baptized. They did what they were told to do. And that same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people obeyed the gospel, the first sermon that was preached. And now we have a first summary of the worship of the church. And they continued, the people who were baptized and the 120 and the apostles and all of the people involved in the early church, and they continued steadfastly, the church as a whole, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and their teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. And so that's a summary of the Lord's Supper. And we encourage you in our radio audience, those of you, most of our radio audience worships in another country. We have 6 radio broadcasts that go out in the United States. We have 21 worldwide radio broadcasts that go out to the whole earth. We cover China 7 times. We cover Africa 7 times. We have an enormous amount of radio broadcasts that go out to where the people are. We cover Russia 7 times, Ukraine, China, all of these places where there are billions of people. We cover at least 7 times. When's the last time you think we got a check from Africa? When's the last time you think we got a check from China? See, we're not in this for the money. We're in this for the souls. We want to tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So most of our audience, they don't live in a country that's got a lot of churches of Christ. So if you're sitting out there in your radio audience, and you're in Africa in a little hut, or you're in Ukraine in a house, or wherever you're at in the world, all you got to do is tune in, same time, same station next week. All you got to do is be involved. Make your house into a church. Make a home church. We've got a goal of establishing 100,000 home churches this year, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us to do that. Then we see the summary of Acts chapter 2 in verse 47, speaking of the church, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Notice you can't join the church. Notice you can't come down here and I add you to the church. If I added you to the church, I'm liable to get mad at you and want to take you out of it. It's a good thing that the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved, because some of the people are gaming, they're lying, they're really not for real, they're not saved. God knows whether you're gaming, whether you're for real, and He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Now we're going to study probably one of the most important clauses that are found in the Bible. And that clause is called in Christ. How important is it to be in Christ? Well, look at John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So being in Christ is the most important thing in your life. It's very, very, very important to be in Christ. And so how do you get in Christ? Always remember that Christ did it all. We did nothing to merit or deserve our salvation. I could work 100 years and never merit or deserve salvation. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, who being, speaking of Jesus, the brightness of His glory, and the expressed image of His person, what is God like? Well, He's just like Jesus. And upholding all things by the word of His power, we don't know why things hold together. Atoms are in motion. They should be spinning off and going off into everywhere. We don't know why things consist, but there are certain laws that God has put into effect when He created the universe. He put the law of gravity, as an example, into effect. So laws, Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. When He created the universe, He made certain laws. And when He had by Himself purged our sins. Notice nobody else was involved in saving Kelly but Jesus Christ. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He didn't have any help from old Peter. Old Peter denied Him thrice. He didn't have any help at all from Judas. Judas told him where He was. He didn't have any help at all from James, John, Alphaeus, and all the rest of them. He didn't have any help from anybody at all. He Himself purged our sin. So it ought to be important to us to get into Christ. We ought to want to be in Christ. It's our standing. I'm down here in the world, but from God's point of view, I'm seated in the lap of Christ right now like a little child. I'm seated in the lap of Christ. I am in Christ Jesus our Lord. It has to do with our standing, not our state, our standing with God. In Galatians chapter 3, beginning verse 26, Paul is going to begin to explain this in New Testament Christianity. For ye are all the children of God by faith, and actually the word there is in the Greek is tis pistous ek Christ, in Christ. The Greek indicates that it's not faith, our faith on Christ. It is the faith, the whole substance of the New Testament Christianity. It is everything that has to do with New Testament Christianity. That's what the faith is. So we're all together children of God by the faith, the Christianity that Jesus Christ established. Verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into. Notice that word into. It's not unto, such as ek in the Greek. It's into, which is is. I can take a quarter and throw it unto this cup. All I've done is throwed it up there by. It's not in that cup, is it? I can take a trip and go unto Jerusalem. And I can stand outside the city wall and I can look at it and say, really wonderful. Am I in Jerusalem? No, I'm unto Jerusalem. You want to be in Christ. It's really important to be in Christ. And there are only two verses in the New Testament that tell you how to do that, and we're going to study those. Verse 27, "For as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's either male nor female." Mean women's worth something? They sure are in the church. They sure are. "For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's child, you're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." What promise? "Well, I'll bless him that bless thee. I'll curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Isn't that wonderful? I've got somebody a lot bigger than a big brother who tells me that I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And in you, if you'll live your life right, in you I'll use you to make you a blessing. I'll make all the world happy because of what you do. And so it's really nice to be a blessing, and I would encourage you to be in Christ and be a blessing to others. Then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, you remember now we've studied the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, "Know you not, so many of us were baptized," there's the word again, "into," not unto. You were baptized into Christ. We're baptized into his death. Now, what's the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Therefore, we're buried. There's burial. So we're baptized into his death. We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like his Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So just like Jesus died on the cross, God wants you to die to sin. Just like Christ was buried in a grave, God wants you to be buried in a watery grave of baptism. Just like Christ rose up from the grave, God wants you to rise up from your baptism to walk a brand new life, to walk a Christian life from now on. And so let's begin to make a list of some of the blessings that are in Christ. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com, and you could also go to www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. You can catch us either way, but we are trying to immortalize that Church of Christ preaching. We're trying to make it go on. Even long after Main Street Church of Christ is no more, we want to try to keep sermons going out on our internet. So that's why we've chosen that heading, www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him," is that what it says? And what it says is, it says, whosoever believeth what? In him. Whosoever believeth in him, whosoever's in him and believes, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 3:24. Is a great verse that deals with being in Christ. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Glorious is the thought that our justification in God's sight is now available to all people, not on the basis of success in keeping the commandments of any law. Man, if my salvation was based on me keeping the Ten Commandments, there's no hope. No hope at all. My salvation is not based on that. My salvation is not based on me keeping any kind of commandments or laws, nor upon the basis of having achieved any degree of moral perfection. Y'all see me the way that I am, and you know that I got a long way to be morally perfect. Or excellence. None of us have any enough moral excellence to save us. And not upon the basis of fulfilling any kind of law whatsoever, but solely upon the basis of coming to Christ in the appointed way and being in Christ. How do you come in the appointed way? You believe the gospel, you put your faith and trust in God to save you, you repent of your sins, you confess Christ as Lord, and you're baptized into Christ. That's the appointed way. That's the basis of your salvation. You're going to wake up some days and you're going to not feel very saved. But it's not how you feel that counts. It's what God said that counts. And God cannot lie. And he said, whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So why don't you come to him today? Notice Romans 3:24. Being. That's happening every minute of every day. All the rest of your life. For every minor sin that you commit. You get baptized today and you walk out of here and you trip and you fall down and you skin your knee and you cuss. Well, you're going to have to learn how to be a Christian and not cuss. It took me years to stop cussing. And the way that you stop cussing is every time you goof, you tell him, excuse me. And no matter who you're standing in front of, no matter how you have to embarrass yourself, say, pardon me, I didn't mean to say that. Excuse me, Lord, I didn't mean to cuss. Try to clean up your language. But until you get perfect, God has that word being going on all the time. Now, it doesn't mean that if you sin with a high hand, like 1 Corinthians 6:9 and following, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor the effeminate, nor the abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Just because you get washed and get your sins washed away, if you go back to all of the ways of the world, major sins, you're going to have to repent to be saved of that. But anything less than those major sins that are listed in 1 Corinthians 6:9 and following, Galatians 5:19 and following, anything other than that, every minute of every day, you are being justified. That word justify means a ruling by the Supreme Court of Almighty God. God Himself rules that Kelly is counted as if righteous. He is reckoned as if righteous. And the righteousness of God is imputed, counted, or reckoned to me in place of my filthy rags, in place of my sins. God reckons or counts these things. Let's learn what words mean. Being is going on all the time. Justified, God constantly saying, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Being justified, what does it cost you? Freedom. I knew a mafia boss one time, and he liked to do favors for me. And he did all kinds of nice favors for me. And he was a Catholic guy, and those fellows, they believe in work-oriented salvation, that you have to merit your salvation, and you had to have to deserve it. And I said, well, Bernie, you've been bringing me supper, man, in here for all these years. Let me just give you a couple of packs of cigarettes a week, and you bring my supper down. Well, it was like slapping him in the face. It was an insult to him. An insult to think that he could be bought, that his friendship could be bought for mere pennies. What are you talking about? Think how we insult God when we think that there's a price on our salvation when he paid the whole price, the full price. We insult God in trying to think that we can buy our salvation, merit our salvation. I could make 100,000 bologna sandwiches this week and give them away to nobody but the poorest of the poor, and I couldn't earn one hair of my salvation. None of it. I couldn't earn any of it. Jesus Christ earned it all. He by himself purged our sins. Being justified freely, you can't buy it, freely by his grace. Grace means unmerited favor before God. There's nothing that you can do to merit it. By his grace through the redemption. Redemption means buy back. I take my wedding ring, I go over here to the pawn shop, and I hock my wedding ring. And I take that money that I get from the pawn shop, I go buy beer and alcohol, and I drink it all down, man, it's all gone. So the alcohol's gone, the money's gone, the ring's gone, 30 days are up, and I got to pay the bill at the pawn shop. And I go over and give him a snibble, tell him, look here, is he going to listen to me? He wants his money. He wants nothing else but every penny of his money. Because he only gave me just a little bitty portion of what that thing was worth in the first place. And it's in his interest for me not to get it back. He wants to keep it. He really covets my stuff. And he's not going to redeem me. Who's going to redeem me? Who's going to buy it back? Well, Jesus walks in, pays the debt in full, gets the ring, and you know what he does with the ring? He puts it back on my finger. He puts it back on my finger. He doesn't keep it. He doesn't keep it as collateral. He gives it back to us. He died for our life and then gives us our life back and tells us now go on and live better. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the buyback, that is where? Where's it at? Where can you find it? In Mohammed, in Buddha, in Christ Jesus our Lord, nowhere else. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption, the expression in Christ, in some ways is the most important expression in all of Pauline literature and everything that Paul wrote in the New Testament, all of his books. It is an expression that is used no less than 169 times in the New Testament. In Christ. You ought to pay attention to in Christ when you see it. Because what it means is unless you're in Christ, you don't get those benefits. Those benefits are not available to anybody except the people that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We would like to encourage our radio audience to tune in same time, same station next week and go to our website. You can sign up by going to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be a house church and let us help you sign up and you can have a church in your own home. We'd like to make 100,000 evangelists in 100,000 houses this year. As I said, it is a term in Christ that's used over 169 times in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This is a shout of victory contrasted against the wail of despair of the last verse of the chapter in front of it. Romans chapter 8 begins, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But chapter 7 ended with, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul has examined himself. He's examined humankind, all of us as a whole in chapter 7. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. You ever feel that way? I feel that way all the time. I feel like I've been given the greatest of opportunities in the world and I've blown it. Well, I've really done, I ought to get a C grade anyway. But I really feel like I've blown it because I could have done better. The truth of the matter is I've got to have his grace. I haven't earned anything. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, it tells us in the next verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. This transition from bleak and depressing condition of the unregenerated person in Romans chapter 7 to the enthusiastic optimism of Romans chapter 8 is signaled by the adverb now. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities. Trump's coming. Anybody heard? Anybody heard that? Man, I'm telling you, back in my day when we was a kid, y'all, is any of you old enough to remember Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young? And Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young sang a song, Four Dead in Ohio, and Nixon's coming. We thought it was the end of the world, man. Richard Nixon, they've already shot and killed a Democrat president, done shot and killed four innocent college students in Ohio, and Nixon's now coming. Boy, we thought that he was going to nuke us off. But God right here is telling us in Romans chapter 8, don't be worried about principality. Principalities are kings, princes, magistrates, presidents. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor trumps, nor powers, judges, anybody Anything that you're worried about, whatever you're worried about, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Where is the love of God found? Now, what you have to ask yourself is that if it's found here, is it found over here? Is it found in Mohammed? Is it found in Buddhism? Is it found in Shintoism or any of those isms? The love of God is found where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. So I advise you to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Final words of this flourishing burst of eloquence. It brings back the major proposition underlying everything that Paul wrote, that salvation is in Christ alone. And the totality of the Christian hope derives from the fact that we, by faith and repentance, have come to Christ in the appointed way. We have said, yes, sir. We have allowed ourselves to be saved, and we have been saved, and we put all our faith and trust in Christ to save us. So Romans 12:5. So we, being many different Christians throughout the whole world, Christians are everywhere. There are people in Sri Lanka listening to us. We had 88 countries came to our website last month. We had over 200,000 hits. We've almost had 2 million hits on our website this year. In the past calendar year, 2 million hits. Let me tell you something. 1 million of anything is a bunch of them, even if it's ants. It's a bunch of them. If you had 2 million ants on you this morning, you'd be running, trying to jump in the creek. Boy, you couldn't stand up with 2 million ants. You can't imagine how many 2 million is. We had 88 countries come to our website last month. Do you know the United States of America has diplomatic relations with 120 nations? And they have representation in 120 nations. We're doing almost as good as the United States of America in having representation in 88 nations. Amazing thing. Some of them from the United Arab Emirates, I wonder what they're looking for. Well, we're ready for them. And we hope that they want to be saved. But they might just want to go meet Jesus. And so that's okay too. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You want wisdom? You want righteousness? You want sanctification? Sanctification means set apart as holy unto God. I need to be more sanctified. I need to take this very serious, being sanctified. I need to be more and more holy every day. I am ashamed of myself that I am not perfect in Christ. I should be perfect in Christ. I know I've come a long way, Kelly. Yeah, I've come a long way. I've stopped a lot of stuff. I've stopped more stuff than any of you ever dreamed about. I'm telling you the truth. They make movies about people like me. But if you want sanctification, you want redemption, you want to be bought back, you want to be justified freely, you want wisdom, you want righteousness, you're going to have to get in Christ Jesus, because it's not found anywhere else. In Christ alone is their salvation. The saved possess all the things, not just these four things. In Christ is the only true grounds of justification in the eyes of God. Jesus is a perfect, holy, and undefiled, righteous, and superlative, in every degree, perfect sacrifice. In Christ, he is holy, and Christians that are in Christ are holy and righteous. It's not our righteousness, of course, in the sense that we achieved it, but it's ours in the sense that Christ achieved it, and we are Christ, being members of his spiritual body. Look at the verse again, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Some of you are just like little bitty kids, just like me. I'm a little kid in some way. When I act up especially, in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ." Some of us are still babes in Christ. I wonder what I'm going to be when I grow up someday, when I really start taking this sanctification serious. Well, some of you are babes in Christ. Some of you I brought to Christ. In fact, most of you I have. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." So Paul said he taught them the gospel, and in so doing he became like a father to them. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die." Every person since Adam has died. Why? God made a rule, a law, if you sin, you die. You want to know why there aren't any more self-righteous hypocrites sitting in here anymore? They've all left. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it at all. They're going to die, and that proves they're sinners. They're all getting old, and it proves they're sinners. But they think that they're holy. The Pharisees, they all thought they were holy. They were just before God. The Sadducees, they all thought that they were doing God's service when they killed the Son of God. "For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Isn't that wonderful? My job now is to be good, to keep trusting Christ, to keep trusting God, to do the best that I can so that I can run on that street of gold with Ginger someday. I'm ready to run barefooted on that street of gold. I don't know about y'all. I don't want any shoes on. He told Moses, "Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." Well, I think that's going to really be holy ground. I'm ready to run barefooted on that street of gold. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen." And amen means so be it. And so God is the so be it to everything. He is the finalization of everything. Some people say, "Well, I'm going to go on and sin anyway." And God says, "So be it." And some people say, "I want to repent." And he says, "So be it." And so he finalizes the things that people do. Is the amen unto the glory of God by us. "Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us," now the anointing is the Holy Spirit that we receive, "is God, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Three things in these verses: the anointing, the sealing, and the giving of the earnest gift. Now, God gives the Holy Spirit like a down payment as an earnest gift. We become a Christian and we're sealed in our heart with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that we're going to walk on snakes and be snake handlers. It doesn't mean that we're going to drink poison or any of that silliness, or speak in tongues, or be healers or magicians or any of that stuff. It simply means that the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, comes and lives in our hearts, and He begins to help us become sanctified, to help us to become holy. And it is a process, a making process. Some of you haven't been as bad as I have, and so God had more to work with you. But He didn't have much to work with me. All of these are referenced to one action, the conversion, our becoming Christians. The believer is united in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Boy, we carry that out, don't we? To the whole wide world. Sitting here today is a representative of a little house church. They go worship at a big church 3 Sundays a month, and they come here and worship with us 1 Sunday a month, and their contribution that they give us pays for the radio broadcast 1 that covers about 5 billion people, and radio broadcast 2 that covers China. Radio broadcast 1 gets all of North and South America, all of Europe over here through Russia. And broadcast 2 gets all the Pacific. And so their little contribution pays for two radio broadcasts that cover the whole wide world. It covers about $5 billion in the first broadcast and about $3 billion in the second broadcast. We can triumph with something like that. Isn't that wonderful that these wonderful people have wanted their contribution to go to something other than building buildings, paying preachers to drive new Cadillacs? They wanted their stuff to go to something to help people. Sitting here is a lady from Alaska that helps us the same way. Sitting here is our truck driver, Vito's going to be back on the road again as soon as he's feeling better. They help pay for radio broadcasts that go out to all the world. These are individuals. You want to be a member of the Main Street Church of Christ, your contribution can amount to something. It can go to all the world because Kelly doesn't want any of it. Triumph, this word that God always causes us to triumph in the Greek, is thriambo, a noisy victory parade to conquer, to make an acclamatory procession. In which we acclaim that here comes the King. He always causes us to triumph. Such triumph in the Roman world always featured the conquering of many captives which were led behind, some to be freed and others to be slaughtered as the feature of the spectacle in the Colosseum. And Paul appealed to this triumph metaphor to envision Christ as the great conqueror who leads all people, whether they will or not. He's going to lead. Some of them are going to go with the goats on the left hand. And some of them are going to be sheep, and they're going to come on his right hand. But Christ leads all people, and at the end of time, there's going to be a victory parade like you won't believe. And God always causes us to what? Triumph if we're where? In Christ Jesus. No matter how much we try, how can God do that? We just wonder that around here. This church is an absolute miracle. We've got no money. We've got no fancy people. We've got no big shots. We've got no big wigs. We've got none of the fancy things that the world has. And we've got 21 international radio broadcasts going out to the entire earth. We have 200,000 people coming to our website every month. If that many come to the website, how many do you think listen on the radio? Most of those people in Africa who listen on a radio, there's a million radios in Africa that's tuned just to us. They can't get anybody but us for 2 hours on Sunday. Of all of those people who listen, most of those can't get on the internet. They're in a little village and they got a little crank that they're turning a little generator to listen to the radio. In most of the world, those people can't get at the internet. It's only the big shots in those countries that's got the internet. But God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul speaking of the possibilities that are ours, he said, "Now to him who's able." And I can just see Paul saying, "No, no, that doesn't explain it. He's dictating to a scribe. He's got bad eyes." And he says, "Now to him who's able to do." No, that still doesn't describe it. "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly." No, it doesn't describe it. "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly." No, not good enough. "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask." Well, he tells us this is assurance that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. "Above all that we ask, or all that we think." "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, or all that we think." According to the power that now worketh within what? Us. So the Holy Spirit's living in our hearts. If we're in Christ, we have this wonderful power that God causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. Let's make 100,000 house churches this year. Let's get 100,000 people all over the earth. Open your house to the Lord. Take the hour before and the hour after our broadcast and bring people in. and have them hear it with you, because we're going to give you messages that'll help you convert these people and make Christians out of them. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or all that we think, according to the power that worketh within us, what's the chance of this little church preaching the gospel to all the world? Well, it's an amazing thing. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has caused us to triumph and preach that gospel to all the earth every Sunday morning. We want you to become a Christian. We want you to put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. We want you to believe the gospel. March right down to the front down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. And be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. If you're here this morning, you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church, or you have sin in your life, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Thank you. Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.